WhatsApp messages. So please follow through on which is meant for which, so that it could be easy for you to actually get your question across to us. Let's also still remember, it's not to call for revelations or dreams interpretation, and it's not also a program for you to call for prayers for heal, for sicknesses or deliverance. It's actually based on the scripture. Let's go back to question. Okay, we have a call. Brachukudi, God bless you.
Yeah.
Shalom, God bless you, Brachukudi. Welcome. You can go with your question.
Good evening, sir. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Brother Chukwudi from Abuja, Nigeria. Yes.
Yeah. Please, sir, I'm an evangelist from Abuja.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Living on the airtime message. I have a question, sir, please, sir.
Yes.
Why is it that every time I'm ministering, yes, people will come out, accept what I'm saying, go back to their gods, but I don't normally have a word of knowledge. But each time I travel to my place and I'm ministering, word of knowledge will come up, and anything I say, it you know, they will just confirm it immediately. Even though I call people name and talk about what has been happening and all that, everything accurate. But once I'm off from that site, this thing doesn't manifest. So I don't know what.
I remember that you said the gift of the word of knowledge. And,
yes, sir.
And the word of knowledge is not you that quicken it. It is the spirit that quickens it. So
okay,
it quickens it only when it is needed. When God needs it, not when you need it.
Okay, sir.
So your own is that you are an evangelist, and an evangelist does not get what to preach from word of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay, an evangelist preaches what he already knows about salvation. But when God wants to now confirm what you are preaching, there is a need to confirm what you are preaching so that the people will listen to you. Then he comes with the signs and the wonders and the discernment that you see, the word of knowledge that you see, the healing, the deliverance that takes place. All these gifts are only to back up what you are preaching.
Amen.
Okay, sir.
So if it is not needed, there will be no need for it.
But why is it that it's only when I travel in the East that it happens?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I say when it is needed, maybe in the East there, they will doubt you. They will not accept what you are saying. So God will now confirm what you are saying to be the truth by those signs that take place.
Okay, sir.
And then sometimes in the East there, maybe they don't believe unless they see sign.
Okay,
and then, but any other place that you are in, they prefer just if you can convince them with the preaching of the word.
Okay, sir.
Okay, God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Brother Chukwudi. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. All right, let's keep the questions coming. And whether we have it through SMS or WhatsApp, or whether we have it through calls. All right. Shalom, Pastor, and thank you for the wonderful work in his vineyard. I have these questions. Question one. Jesus is both the Lamb of God and the chief high priest. We know the high priest is the one who slaughters the lamb. How did he, the high priest, sacrifice himself, the lamb, at the same time on the cross of Calvary?
I want you to understand. I want you to look at, I think Apostle Paul made clarified that in the book of Hebrew. I think it's Hebrew chapter 5.
For every high priest.
Yes.
Verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices.
You see, that is sins. what the high priest that was ordained, the Aaronic priesthood. That was their duty,
Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way?
Yes.
For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity.
Uh-huh.
And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins.
Uh-huh.
And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
Yes. Let me quickly summarize this, because if we're going to read some of these scriptures, it may take some time. Let me summarize this. You look at the duty, the duty of the high priest essentially is to stand between God and the people. The offer of the sacrifice, the offer of the sacrifice was the duty of the high priest. That was his duty. He present the prayers, he present the sacrifice on behalf of the sinners, the people. Now, Christ is known also as the mediator between God and man. So, here you see, that is why Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. It is for the purpose of salvation. Now, when you come to Christ, he is the high priest. The reason he is the high priest is because he is there now interceding for you and for me. It is his office, his work. It's that action of slaughtering the lamb, was part of the duty. Now, yes, he is the lamb that is slain. Now, it is not the lamb that was the mediator. It is not the lamb. It was the high priest. You know, I'm trying to put it.
Can I actually chip this in, sir? If I don't know if I'm getting the thoughts correct from what you've been saying. Could we say that Christ was first the lamb?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Offered by the high priest.
I said,
and then after his resurrection, he became our high priest.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, how can he be? The problem he's saying here is, how can he be both the sacrificial lamb and again the high priest again? It is just like you saying, how can he be a king? How can he be the son of God and the son of David at the same time? And then David still call him my Lord. And things like that. You have to know when in the divine agenda what role he's playing and then place him right.
Amen.
He is the high priest because he's the mediator. And he is the lamb that taken away our sins. He is also our savior. He is also our healer. He is our redeemer. He's everything.
Amen.
For salvation.
All right, that actually gives an answer to the question. So question two from our brother from Bamenda, Cameroon, says, my second question is from John chapter 15 verse 1 to 2 and verse 6. Can somebody be in Christ and is cut off? Because I understand to be a branch of the vine, which is Christ, means you are part of that vine. That means you are born again. So can you be in
Christ? Can somebody be in Christ and is cut off?
Cut off, yes.
Because, yes, you are cut off because you bear no fruit. The emphasis is the fruit that you bear.
Okay.
What is the use that you are a branch and you bear no fruit? That means there's no life in you. Something is wrong with you. You can be cut off. Yes. You can be in Christ. That means you are a false branch. You are a graft branch. And grafted branch will not bear the fruit of the original branch.
Amen.
Our original vine.
All right. So that answers the questions from our brother from Cameroon. God bless you. So let's keep the question coming. All right. Shalom, Pastor. Please help me understand Matthew chapter 5 from verse 1 to 12, the Sermon on the Mount. This is Anita from Ghana.
I don't understand. I should start picking the one by one for you to understand.
To
what
explain.
About if you don't understand?
The beatitude. Bogus. Yes.
I don't know. It's as clear as that. You have to tell me which of them you don't understand. Blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek. blessed and the peacemaker for this and God, children of God. What do you want me to explain there?
All right, let's go with the questions.
Maybe you have to reframe your question.
You have to reframe that question, yes. Please. That would be very, very necessary. All right, let's go on with the questions. And we have a call. Okay, Brother Julius from Kogi State. Brother Julius, you can go on with your question.
Shalom, sir. Shalom, sir.
Shalom. God bless you, Brother Julius.
I want to ask a question, sir.
Go ahead.
From Leviticus chapter 19.
Okay.
Verse 23 up to 25.
Okay.
Concerning ministry and the usage of the income. I want to know, sir, is it that when a ministry started for 3 good years, the income are not to be touched?
Leviticus chapter 19, what? Which
23 to 25. Says, and when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you, shall not be eaten off. But in the 4th year, all the fruits thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord without. And in the 5th year shall ye eat of the fruits thereof, and ye that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God.
So what your question is, that means your income your first income for the first 3 years, that you are not to touch it until the 4th year. This was an ordinance, a certain celebration, because part of the ordinance for social order and that was the law. That was under the law. It cannot be applicable now, because we are talking about, if you look at it in verse 23, and when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth, that is trees. So you are, when you plant it, allow. You see, there are some of these laws that have, they are the law of botany. They are the law for, it's just like when he says they should till the ground for six years. The 7th year they should not go to farm. The idea is to allow the ground to recuperate and then recharge itself again. If you don't allow that, your yield will reduce. So also you are planting, here is a planting of trees. And you know, when you plant trees, different from when you plant wheat. So you allow it to grow. I believe that there is something about fruit trees that this number of years have to do in blessing it and keep it to keep producing for you within this period. It has to do with agricultural laws.
Yes, sir. So actually, why I ask this question? We started the ministry now. So when I came across this particular verse, I was like, is it that the income of the church will not be touched?
No, that is not the application. That's not the application.
Thank you, sir.
God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Shalom. And I want you to note something. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I pray you'll understand what I want to say now.
Yes, sir.
The income of the church is not established to have income.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, when you talk about the income of a church, it's income of the people that come to church, not income of the church.
Thank you, sir. I understand.
I hope you understand me.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh, because the church is not a business.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Julius.
that actually ticked a button. Actually, that's wisdom. Actually, because actually necessary. Very
church
necessary.
Church is not a business.
Yes, it's not a business.
So it's not for the church. It's for the individuals that come to church.
Mm. All right. God bless you. So let's keep the questions coming in. Still ask the pastor. All right. Shalom, sir. Please, in the generation of Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, Joseph is the son of Jacob, while in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, Eli is the father of Joseph. Please, sir, is there any explanation? Thank
Jacob,
you, sir. Kingsley from Ghana.
They are tracing Joseph to the lineage of Jacob.
Jacob.
Because it is through Jacob the scepter shall be produced.
Yes.
That's all he's trying to let you know, the lineage of Jacob, to let you know that both Mary and Joseph are from the lineage where Christ is to be produced. That's all.
All right. Praise God. So that answers that question.
It's gone
directly.
beyond down to the root of their genealogy.
Amen. So that answers the question directly. So let's keep more questions. Let's have more questions coming in. And let's keep the calls coming. God bless you. From Gabon, Brother Ogugua from Gabon, saying, Shalom, Pastor Moses. My question goes like this. Why is it that after traditional marriage, couples are still kept under strict order for not coming together as husband and wife until they come to the altar? Please, sir, explain in details.
There is no scripture for that. Mm-hmm. It's just a tradition of your local church.
Okay.
It is also a Christian tradition. Okay. It's a tradition. It's not a commandment of the Lord to force you and I, the intending couples, to bring God into their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will in all you do, and He will direct your path.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs chapter 3 says so. When you acknowledge Him, He will direct you. So you have finished the traditional. Now come to the Christian tradition also.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. So while you are planning your traditional, plan coming, passing through the church to take her home. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
To
so,
gather money
yes.
and just like that.
But if you go to live together after a traditional marriage, you're already married. So, you have not sinned, but you decide to forfeit the tradition of coming to the church for the church blessing, which is what they call wedding. That woman becomes your wife once you have paid the bride price and the parent release her to you.
But is there any consequence for not going through the church? Being blessed, because in certain churches,
that's why I say it's church tradition.
Yes, in certain local churches, the pastor would not even consider.
They have no scriptural basis for that other than their church doctrine. No scripture says you must wear white gown, come and do church wedding before that woman be recognized as your wife. What makes her your wife is that you have paid the bride price and the parents have released her to you. She is your wife. But pass through the church for blessing, like we do. Bring God into it. That is what we encourage the people to do. Don't go and start chopping until
bring God into it.
It also secures that marriage.
Amen.
You have brought God into it.
Amen.
So it will force you to do that. They put such laws.
Okay. All right. So God bless you. Okay, we have another question from River State, Nigeria. Say, Shalom, Pastor. Please, did the Lord Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 23, confer on the apostles power to forgive and retain sins?
Yes.
Brachidi.
Yes. That same power is given to us today, who are also His disciples, preaching what the apostles are also preaching. Now, but how is the power exercised? The power is not exercised by the word of mouth. You catch a king, Acts 2:38.
Okay.
Maybe from verse 37.
Acts 2:37. Now, when they had this, they were pricked in their hearts.
After they preached the gospel, they were pricked in their hearts.
And said unto Peter,
yes,
and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
They are to baptize the name of the Lord Jesus for what?
For the remission of sins.
So what authority, how did they remit the people's sin? It's not by saying your sins be forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. As the priests, some priests do these days. No, you're not. It's the sinner hears the gospel, repents, and then you take him into the water. As he comes out of that water, water baptism, the sins are remitted. That is how the apostles and us remit sins. Now he said, whosoever sin you retain.
I was going to actually ask what about that other side.
They are retained. When you preach the gospel, people believe and they join you in fellowship.
Okay.
I think in Matthew, you know, let's get, I think Matthew 18 from verse 15.
Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault, because between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the
church. Now, verse 17 again.
And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church.
You are not taking it now to the church. Here is the elders of the church.
But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an hidden man and a publican.
That's it. Then you now see the meaning of verse 18 now.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Agreement.
And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Thank you. I hope that is clear.
Very clear and very powerful. Very clear and very powerful.
Now, you know this binding in Matthew 18, agreement.
Yes.
But there is also the binding in Matthew 16.
Okay.
And losing. Verse 19.
Okay, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Verse 20.
So the bind and the loose is authority to bind Satan.
Satan. Okay.
And to loose.
Okay.
But in Matthew 18, it is agreement.
Agreement.
Once the church is settled, it is settled. God bless you.
Okay. Now that makes it clear. Oh, we have another question. Interesting. Sister Mercy from Germany. God bless you. You're welcome online.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. You can go on with your question.
Okay, sir. Shalom, sir.
Shalom. Shalom, Sister Mercy.
Good evening, sir. Pastor Moses.
God bless you, Sister Mercy.
Yes, sir. I have a question, sir. Concerning the 21 days fasting.
Okay.
I want to know, sir, if someone is under medication or health purpose, what can we do?
No, you only fast. You see, it's a consecration period, and you can only do it when you are able to. But within that period, you see, consecration is not only about food. It includes anything that gives pleasure. That you indulge in before, television, necessary talk up and down, and the period where you give more time to study and prayers. So, if you are not able to fast for a reason that God will understand, like health issue, you don't have to. The people who suffer from ulcer, you don't have to do that fasting. But consecrate yourself.
Okay, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless
you. Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, sir. And God bless you all real good for the good works you are doing. There is this hunger to know the word of God more and deeper since I started watching you on Bright TV. Your deep understanding of the word of God amazes me. No matter how I plan to study daily, I will still not be meeting up. Any tips on how to study and master the word of God? If I know more, I will obey him more in every aspect of life. So I think the question one is if there's any tip on how to study and master the word of God.
Not to create time. No student enters the university the first year and graduates with the certificate you're supposed to get if you aimed to get a degree. But if you don't aim to get a diploma, then you will stop so far. Certificate, you stop so far. But if it's a full degree, then you make sure, you know, there will be course line. Yeah. Keep reading, keep studying. Mm-hmm. And then as the time goes on, you will. I've been doing this for so many years, since 1989. So don't come and join me in the race now and think you will catch up with me. It will not be easy. I grew to where I am now. Mm. So you too, you will grow. But the much you know, make sure you obey it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Be doers of the word. All right, question two. Somebody betrayed, disappointed, cheated me to the extent that I really don't want to set my eyes on him again. The thought and sight of him brings this so much anger and hatred in my heart. But at the same time, I know I have to forgive and move on. But I don't really know how to. I wonder if Christ comes now, if I will make heaven with this heaviness in my heart. Can you please help me on what to do? I really want to be fine again. Sister NK from Sweden.
What to do is simple. It's to ask yourself, how does your anger, hatred for him, how does it affect that person? The person is enjoying his life or her life. You are the one suffering it. Because your system is being attacked by the way you feel towards that person. So how do you approach it? It's to realize that he did something to hurt you. And it's going, and you are accepting it, and you are even compounding it again to hurt you the more. And one of the ways to do it is, you know, go talk it out with the person and let the person know how you feel over it. And if the person already knows how you feel over it, that you are angry and has not made amendment with you, you let go and move your life forward. Sometimes there are lessons in life, you know. You consider it as one of the lessons in life and move forward. And next time, be careful with whoever you will meet in that same line you met this person. So, if Christ comes now, the reason why you cannot go in the rapture, certainly, you know, this can be included. This can disturb your spiritual life because you will not be in an estate to hear from God when you are in the estate that you are in. Your spiritual life is not loosed. Your spirit man is not loosed. So God cannot deal with you as he should deal with you to get you prepared for his soon coming. So the best, and that is exactly what Satan wants to use to achieve in your life, to hook you with that so that you don't move with God in preparing you for the rapture. Now, and before you know what, you get healing, you know. And if possible, call him and say, well, I have forgiven you. And whether you like it or not, you know, whether you reply good or not, I have forgiven you. And then you let go.
Praise God. That's actually very powerful. That word of I have forgiven you can actually do a lot of miracles in your body and in your life, sincerely. All right, Brother Chidi from Germany. Shalom, Brother Chidi. You can go on with your question.
Okay. Shalom, sir.
Shalom. Shalom. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rashid from Germany. So I thank you and more grace for what you are doing in the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Brother Chidi.
Please, I have three short questions.
I'll give you three short
about,
answers.
About what Brother Christian asked before concerning prayers.
Yes.
So my question here is, I believe we are alive today is not because of our prayers. Like what you was preaching last 2 weeks Sunday. You said what we get is not because we pray.
By his mercy.
It's So if we, like what Brother Crystal asked before, if we believe, if I'm asking about that, does it mean that our prayer, or what is the God's grace in our life? The grace, this favor that we cannot buy, we have naturally. Does it mean that we only get when we pray for them, or it comes naturally?
Brother,
so, sir, this is one. The second question mm-hmm. is according to Matthew 5:44.
Yes.
You said it before, but still, a lot of pastors and prophets, when they pray, they still pray against their enemies. But the Bible said, those who persecute you, who want to kill you, pray for them, do good for them. But in all churches today, I never see a place to pray for his enemy.
Okay.
And the third, this is the second question. The third question is, so about a pastor, that a brother asked about it there also, the manifestations of a pastor. What designs a pastor? What we expect from a pastor? This is the manifestation. You said it before, that the pastor has his manifestation, the design, or what I want to know is actual manifestation.
Sorry, I don't understand your third question. I don't understand.
He's trying to ask what excites a pastor.
Sir, I mean about the manifestations of a pastor.
What do you mean, manifestation of a pastor or the ministry of a pastor?
Yeah, sir, the ministry.
Yes.
That's what is expected of him. Physically, spiritually.
The pastor, let me start answering you from there. The pastor, do you know the meaning of pastor? Is the keeper of
teacher.
The sheep.
Yes.
A pastor is the keeper of the pasture, the food for the sheep. There is pasture. Pasture means the food for the sheep. Pastor is the keeper of the pasture. So the duty of a pastor is to feed the sheep with the word, guide them aright. That's his ministry.
Sir, must he have discerning spirit?
No, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have 9 spiritual gifts there. And it is for the body. And the pastor can have any of those ones in addition to his main office as a teacher of God's word.
But sir, it is not a must. But it is not a must that he must have extra to his calling.
Now, every Christian, if you are born again, you must have a gift. If you have the Holy Ghost, you must have a gift. And that gift also helps in your ministry as a pastor.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Now, your first question, the prayer. Now, when you come to Christ, you're talking about mercy and grace. Now, I want you to know, Brother Chidi, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'll be very sharp, snappy with your answers. Now, do you know Apostle Paul said we should pray without ceasing? Correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, he said pray without ceasing. Then, James again say you don't have because you don't pray. Then Christ say that he who asks receives. Now, the principle, God operates by principle, though he's full of mercy, but there are also other principles that he knows our problems. He knows what problem you have, but you must ask. You must pray. You must ask. And the essence is because he wants to be in fellowship with us. The same way we, our earthly fathers, relate with our children. That is how he relates with us. So it's a principle. Prayer is a principle. It is so much until Jesus Christ had to teach his disciples how to pray. And that if you pray like this, pray like this. So prayer is very, very important. It does not remove God's mercy. And it is still his mercy that is telling you that you should pray so that he can give you what you need. I don't know if you understand that, my brother.
Yes, sir.
It's a principle.
Yes, sir.
Now, it is wrong to still pray against the enemies. You know, and the way some people do, they fall down and die, this and that. you know.
But sir, this is everywhere. It's everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. The fact that it's everywhere does not make it right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm teaching Bible. This is what the Bible says. And this is what must be. God bless you, Brother Chidi.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Shalom.
You.
Shalom. God bless you. More grace to your elbow.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. And that question actually came really very, very well and very important at this point in time. So let's keep the questions coming in. And we still have another question from Brother Chidu Bim from Abuja. I heard from one of the Rapture Watch episodes that before we meet the Lord in the cloud, that the dead in Christ will rise from the grave, and we will see them visible, and they will stay with us for some time before we are finally taken. Please, sir, how do you place this with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, which says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
The dead shall be raised
incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
So what is it now? The dead will be raised first now. Mm-hmm. Then we will be changed. Mm-hmm. The same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 and 17.
Verse 16, all right. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise
first. And what?
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Again.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
First, then?
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
That is the order.
All right, this is the next question. Shalom, Brother Moses. My question is, who is that woman that Cain married in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17? This is Sister Amaka from Ogun State.
Certainly, because they say he was, I know they're confused because he moved to the land of Nod. Mm-hmm. If we believe the biblical account that the first humans on earth were Adam and Eve, followed by Cain and Abel. Now, Adam and Eve, they still have other children. So they had other children. And he had daughters, sons and daughters. The Bible says so. So certainly Cain married his half-sister. Married from Adam and Eve children. Simple.
So, a lot of people, somebody might now want to ask and say, so why don't we marry our brothers and sisters nowadays?
Because the law changed.
Okay.
In Leviticus.
Okay.
If you go to Leviticus chapter 18, many more scriptures there, just to be very short. See the law here. Chapter 18.
Yes.
You see, from verse 9, what does it say?
The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
You see, so you can see that you cannot marry, after then you cannot marry your sister. Simple. The law changed.
So let's keep the questions coming in. We have a call. Pastor John Paul from Anambra State. Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom, my brother.
Shalom, God bless you. It's nice to have you with us today.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, the conqueror of the East.
Mandate, more grace to your work.
Thank you. And how is the bride assembly, Oka?
We are fine. We are moving forward.
God bless you. God bless you.
From this side.
Thank you.
That the scripture I want you to clarify me, sir.
Yes.
In Exodus chapter 30.
Exodus chapter 30. Yes.
If you read it from verse 34 up to 38.
Okay.
It's talking about perfume.
Yeah. It's talking about
perfume shall be cut off for his people. So my question is it that Christians should not use perfume?
But let's see it again.
34. And the Lord said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet.
We are reading it.
And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stati and ocha and gabanu, These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apotheker. Tamed together,
apothecary,
pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall be cut off from his people.
No, what that scripture is saying is there was a specific specification, perfume, that was supposed to be meant for the altar. And that nobody should make that type of composition of that perfume. That's what he's saying. Not even for himself. That is reserved for God only. That formula for that perfume. But any other type of perfume, he didn't forbid us from using the perfume.
Okay, sir. Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you. More grace.
Thank you. I wish you more grace. Too.
God bless you, sir. Shalom, sir. God bless you. And so let's keep the questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. I am Brother Julie from Adamawa State.
Julie Ilia Tekwa.
From Adamawa State,
yes.
Nigeria. Please, sir, I want you to explain Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48. Is it possible for man to receive the Holy Spirit without going through water baptism?
Yes.
That should be the house of Cornelius.
Yes, that is what we are reading. Mm. That is what you are making reference. Mm. In the house of Cornelius, they receive the Holy Ghost. That's evident. You can receive the Holy Ghost, but if it is a genuine Holy Ghost, it will lead you to correct your water baptism. Simple.
Amen, and God bless you. All right. I thought we're done. Okay. God bless you. We still have questions. Say, bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, can you help us to explain Luke chapter 12, verse 51 to 53? Did Jesus come to cause trouble on earth?
Yes, now. Did you hear that all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution?
Sure.
Can't you see people head being cut off because of Jesus? The reason is because you can imagine even when he was born from 2 years, see how Herod killed all the male children from 2 years down. Is it not because of him? Satan knows that he has come to finish him.
Mm.
So all his followers are his enemies. Yes. So Jesus Christ brought trouble for us. so to speak. Next question.
Next question.
And that's the same person.
Yeah. Yes. Secondly, my friend impregnated a girl but refused to marry her. But his father insisted that he must marry her and went ahead to pay the bride price on his son's behalf. Some years later, my friend went and married another lady. Now, who is the real wife between the two?
Gabriel
from
I'm sorry, there's no scripture for that, because that's not a Christian setting. Let's ask Christian questions. Let's ask Christian questions.
All right, so we move to the next question from Brother Felix from Malawi. Say, Pastor, can you please clarify the qualification of a preacher about marrying a virgin? Okay, I see many gifted preachers stopped to preach because of it, for they are married not virgins.
They're not married to virgins. It's part of the confusion created within the end time message. I believe it's an end time message.
Yes, it's probably an end time message.
End time message preachers. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that that you should marry a virgin. There's no scripture that supports that. No scripture that supports it at all. God bless you.
Shalom, Pastor. I thank God for this Bride Life broadcast. It's an eye-opener to the whole world. My question is, after 1,000 years reign of Christ and on earth, after the rapture, what next?
What next?
Brother Andrew from Benue State.
What next is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 to 28.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, 25 to 28. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet.
Yes.
The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. That shall be destroyed is death.
Uh-huh.
For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is exempted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him.
Verse 28, read 28, it very well, very well.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him,
then
shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
So he has finished his assignment, subduing all things after the millennium, goes to the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, cleanses everything. He has finished his assignment that he's ordained for, all power and authority, return to the Father. Now God will be all in all, for now all authority is in the Son. And what will be the position of Jesus? Remember, he is not the beginning of the new creation. So he will now fulfill that attribute in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6.
It says, for unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful.
Now, Counselor. When, no, let's name them one by one.
Okay.
What is he called?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. That is when he was performing miracles. This would be his attributes. Miracles was wonderful.
Counselor.
It's a counselor because it's not the Holy Ghost.
The mighty God.
The mighty God, Emmanuel. Go ahead.
The everlasting Father.
Now, when will he become the everlasting Father? That is the stage.
Okay.
He has taken over from Adam. What would have been the position of Adam?
He would have been our father.
He would have been our father, but he lost it.
Lost it. Yes.
So another Adam was produced and produced us. So he remains our everlasting Father.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. So that actually gives. Okay. All right. We have a question from Sister Patricia from Cameroon. Says, please, sir, can one decide to take communion every month as a family, like using communion as a family to dedicate the new month into the hands of God? And the communion is given to every member of the family, even to the children who are not baptized. Sister Patricia from Cameroon.
If you belong to a church, why will you not do it together with the church as the time they agreed for it? But if you are, even if you are online, we do it online monthly. If you're a member of this church online. So, it's a tradition. It's tradition that we come together as brethren to do it. But if you feel led, there is no scripture against it. You know, there's no scripture against it. God will honor your faith if it is done properly. Not for any other reason, but to remember what the Lord did for us on the cross on Calvary. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. All right, you will notice that we actually took some extra time today, and we bless every one of you for being part of today's program. It's been a blessing and a wonderful time out here. We want to say a really God bless you, a big God bless you to everyone who's been sponsoring the Bright TV. You're the reason why we are still on air. You're the reason why the reach has gotten to where it is getting to. Or where it has gotten to, rather. And we say God really, really, really bless you. To every member of the crew behind the scene, God bless you also. Let's just put it this way. Wherever you are, remain blessed.
Amen.
God bless you.